This feature has been brought to you by Slot Foundation, which needs your support to continue projects like these. Information on this recording and access to other recordings is available online at slot.org.
So I'll briefly introduce the Darcy Langi Project. I'd like to talk about the Darcy Langi Project instead of Darcy Langi only, because this has been, for me, a dream project as curator. The labor of almost 5 years, and it started when I relocated to New Zealand in 2005. Darcy was still alive. I arrived in June, but he passed away in August, and without me getting the chance to meet him. I came to New Zealand actually looking for him, because Benjamin Booklow, Harbour, our historian, has suggested to look at his work when relocating to New Zealand. And I was quite curious to meet him. Didn't know much about him as many, because he's a quite unknown figure today. In my first preliminary research, I realized that it would be certainly a subject of my interest. So in 2006, I realized that it was important to do a retrospective of his work. For a number of reasons. One, as I said, because it was an under-recognized artist. It was also a New Zealand artist from the region where the Gower Brewster, where I work, is located. And also, the Gower Brewster was one of the rare institutions that had supported his work when he returned to New Zealand in 1985 and had collected all the body of work, the most important body of work up to that date. So I thought it would be an interesting moment to do an exhibition. But in him passing away, also became a preservation project. There was a risk of his work getting lost, and so I spoke with the family who were not really taking care of his estate and aware of the importance of his work, and asked them not to throw anything, that I would be interested in collecting of his material, and spoke with the New Zealand Film Archive, who they decided to take on all the videos, films, onto the archive for preservation and cataloging. And I started, so it became a process of preservation and cataloging of his work, which is still in development because we don't have the right equipment, and it also requires quite a lot of money and funding to these kind of projects, but at least it's preserved and safe. And then it became also an archive. I collected all his personal things, you know, correspondences, lights, audio files, because he was also a flamenco guitarist and quite a good one, and had also recorded flamenco music in the 60s in Spain. And I end up finding out through a flamencologist that some of the works are actually of historical value. So it was an interesting project, and the archives are still in development at the Gower Brewster. And finally, in 2008, when I was trying to find institutions to bring the attention and the work to overseas again, Icon Gallery became interested, and we showed the works that is in schools for the first time overseas in 2008, and agreed to co-publish the book that we don't have here, but it will arrive very soon. And it's the first major publication with several writers, contributors like Benjamin Booklow, Dan Graham, who collaborated with Darcy in the 70s, and it was a close friend of him. Guy Bread, critic of the Times in the 70s, who also was closely related to this project, the works that's in schools, and a number of other contributors. It's a quite comprehensive book, and I really encourage you to look at it if you have a chance to come back to the gallery, to the foundation here next week. So I'll just do a preliminary... I just thought that Darcy, it's important to understand this work. This is a very complex and ambitious work, I thought it would be interesting to contextualize it because it's just not a body of work devoted to the representation of work studies in schools, but it also is part of a larger work devoted to the issue of work that and it starts in 1971. But I'll briefly go give you an overview and then go into talking a little bit more on the work studies in schools. So Darcy Lange went to the Royal College of Art in London in 1968 to study sculpture, following the tradition of large abstract geometrical sculpture at the time. When in London, he began to move gradually towards realism, constructing environmental works which often use photography and film along with fiberglass figures. Unfortunately, I do not have images of that, but only in one of the shots, installation shots. Of the earliest public exhibitions in 1971 was an installation of Irish street workers repairing London's Oxford Street, where life-size sculptural figures were placed in front of a film projection of Oxford Street traffic. In 1985, Lange described his move away from a sculpture, saying, "Then I thought it was ridiculous reconstructing people in the ground. It seemed obvious that you should present them as they were." He continued. The end of the sculpture period at the Royal College of Art brought a movement into the art of film and photography and the beginning of the documentation of people at work. This strategy was influenced by the growing conceptual art movement and the falling away of the restrictions of the Royal College, plus the continuation of my interest in the subject of work and the desire to bring out class difference in British society. End of quote. So by the end of his studies in 1971, Lange started to use film and photography, and in 1972 moved to video, videotaping under the general theme of people at work in English factories, mines, and schools. And you probably have seen some of those images already. Thematically, people at work situates Lange's work within a lineage of social documentary film and photography. He offered a new dimension to a realist, socially engaged documentary tradition that shared the ideological objectives of the seminal work of photographer Lewis Hine and the 1930s Farm Security Administration photographers Dorothea Lange and Walker Evans. During the 1970s, Lange continuously examined the issue of labor in Britain, New Zealand, and Spain, and while his contemporaries engaged with video conceptually, he stressed the responsibility to keep questioning the nature of power and power of realism. Characterized by real-time, unedited, and unmediated long observations of people at work, the work study series that date from 1972 through 1977 aimed to convey the image of work, as an occupation, as an activity, as creativity, and as a time consumer, end of quote. Of his aspirations on the subject of work, Lange wrote, quote, "It's due to my interest in realism and progress that from naturalism and realist constructional sculpture that I have become more interested in the area of direct and natural recording of a given life situation. I'm committed to the development of a social conscience and a development of a record and memory of the physical world." These notes were written on conjunction with the Bradford Art Gallery's exhibition of one of the works presented here, the Bradford Working Life. His restless experimentation with the structural possibilities of moving and a still image led to a parallel use of photography, film, and video, simultaneously shot as in works such as a documentation of Carbleston and Plesley coal mining communities in Nottingham, which was a work from 1973, and he used film, doubled two films projected at once, looked, as well as video and photographs, and transcript of a record of an interview. And so all those components were exhibited at once. Also, those works were depicted not only people at work, but also people in leisure time. So playing cards, I think you might have seen, right here. Playing cards, playing in a band, and doing all sorts of activities outside work. And then the other work was a documentation of Raspberry Working Life, which is a very important work, very ambitious work, very similar to the work studies in schools, not perhaps in terms of number of hours, but in terms of the way that Darcy wanted to record work. He, by then, he had gone into factories that had used video to record and represent work. But by the time that he arrives to the documentation of working of Raspberry Working Life, he is much more structured in his study. He previously studied the subject and devised a structure on how to represent the content. I'll explain a little bit. In early 1974, Lange conducted studies that documented people performing a specific working task in four factories in Bradford, England. The four situations in which he recorded were a steel melting works factory, a wool milling company, a producer of pistons and piston rings, and a mail order warehouse. And he called to this each of the studies in this factory situations. So he had four situations. And then in each situation, there would be two or three studies to five studies. So he will follow the work of a specific worker and recorded that worker and called that a study within the situation. He was very specific on naming things and interested in exploring the aesthetic and formal possibilities of photography, film, and video. Lange documented his subjects using all three media at once. Film and video were shot simultaneously using the same framing and sequence. He would study the subject first by photographing it extensively, then 10-minute takes on video, and 2-minute takes of 30 seconds of 60mm film at the beginning and end of each study. What permeates Lange's interest in working across multiple media, regardless of embracing all as parts of the final work, not always he will, depending on the context, and of course, I mean, video in the 70s were shown not as much as is shown today, and often was shown in the context of programs and Darcy's work tend to be very large in terms of time and scale. So he would show just fragments, you know, chapters of these studies as opposed to the whole 15 studies. And not all the time he would be able to present film and the photographs. So they were presented in different ways, but, you know, the body of work was meant to be by all these three media. So what permeates Lange's start interest in working across multiple media, regardless of embracing all parts of the final work, is his intention to examine and convey the subject matter in its most truthful way by offering multiple renditions of the same material with the subtle variations introduced by the intrinsic qualities of each medium. There's an implicit recognition of the limitations and the impossibility of fully conveying reality by any of these means. Without montage and the use of dramatic sequencing, multiple takes and camera angles, Lange's videos give a semblance of reality. They rely exclusively on a process of slow observation facilitated by the long takes, recording the actions of their subjects in real time as they perform daily work. One thing I should say is that what you're seeing also in the screen is all of them are still photographs. I have not included any of the video stills. One interesting note in comparing the recorded subject by photograph and by video is that while the photograph would somehow stay within the realm of a portrait of the subject, whether he or she poses for the camera or is engaged in his/her work activity and will fail to depict work, the videos are undeniably about work. In seeing action, people performing work in tests, is work which becomes the subject of the document. And I think in that sense, I thought it would be interesting to present here the photographs and the videos together. However, the person in some instances becomes also portrayed. In fact, his studies of people at work are often labeled with the name of the person, Bernd Hume, for instance, and followed by their activity, ale chop dressing. The absence of electronic editing equipment in the early days of video prevented Lange from press producing tapes into a finished product and contributed to his engagement with the process aesthetic that was ascendant in the 1970s. And this is also something that that is very clear with the works that is in schools, where, and I'll explain later, but he refers to these works as researchers. So it's this idea of the study, of the studying process. And there's no intention of finishing the work. It's a work in progress. And it's obviously also due to technological nature of the early video. It also set his work in a contrasted critical distance with the medium of television. As Guy Brady highlights, time in Lange's unedited tapes is one element with great media implications. There's a great deal of time to watch and to think about what you think about, says Guy Brady. Unlike television, Lange's videos, not providing a particular point of view, allow the viewer to make his or her own judgment. Editing is thus associated with television and as such perceived as problematic, quote, as putting things out of context, as Mrs. Webb, one of the teachers here in the videos, discusses in a tape that I also encourage you to listen to if you have a chance. There's a couple of tapes included in the show that you can have access of the recording of Darcy with the students and the teachers discussing at the end of the project what the project was about and sort of raising the issues that this project aims to address. And it's very reciprocal. I mean, I think that Darcy was searching what he was actually doing with the project. That's why I was still in research mode. And it's interesting to see how he's very tentative in his approach to these studies. Returning to New Zealand in 1974, Lange continued his work studies. These works developed his ambition to record people at work in different countries around the world, like Spain, Great Britain, and New Zealand, as I said, often searching for same work activities like sharing in Scotland and New Zealand. One element that becomes more prominent in this series is the lunch break scene, which with a particular title, he calls it personalization, that serves to present leisure parallel to work, but also introduces a different relationship with the subject, with Darcy appearing in the frame, casually talking and sharing lunch with the subjects. The subjects in New Zealand, unlike prior studies, were mostly all acquaintances from his region. Important to remind us that Darcy came from a rural farming community and grew up in a farm, so he was completely in his realm, while at the same time retained his outsider position as an artist. His interaction with the subject of documentation is seminal and will see continuation in the works that is in schools. So I'm briefly going to talk about another project that I think is important, that it will take me a couple of minutes before I go into the works that is in schools. But this is a work that just came after the works that is in schools. It's called the Maori Land Project. In the context of a decade of intense politicization in the United Kingdom that found its parallel in New Zealand political climate, Lange aligned himself with Maori activists' struggles to establish land rights in New Zealand at a period that came to be known as the Maori Renaissance, and developed his ambitious project titled Maori Land Project that dates from 1977 to 81. In relocating to the Netherlands in 1977, Lange worked with René Coelho, founder of the new Montevideo time-based arts in Amsterdam, in producing a program for NOS Television based on the Maori Land Project. And with Leonard Henny, professor at the Utrecht University Sociological Institute, Center for International Development Education, in producing the Maori Land Struggle. The result of these collaborations, a 30-minute television documentary, a three-part sociological analysis made by Utrecht University, and a documentary by Lange, were shown in the land of the Maori exhibition at Van Oven Museum in Edenhoven and the International Cultural Centre in Antwerp, Belgium, in 1980. It is through Lange's collaborations with Henny and Victor Hara Collective during the development of this exhibition, that the notion of media manipulation of political structures as decided by television became his focus. Here, using Lange's footage, a total of 30 hours conducted over the course of three trips to New Zealand between 1977 and 1980, different versions were edited for different purposes. For three different publics, television audiences, students, and museum visitors, by three different agents, a television producer, a sociologist, and an artist, and by three different institutions, broadcast organization, university, and museum. This experiment in media analysis can be seen as continuing Lange's interest in objectivity and truth, where the focus has been transferred from the material and formal constituencies of the different representational media to issues relating to montage, the plurality of publics, and theoretical frameworks. The segment that Lange produced experimented with editing and sound techniques driven by a desire to produce a documentary quality of scientific research, where accuracy proved pivotal in an attempt to provide legal proof. Lange used the material chronologically and chose film and video to give a more, quote, truthful documentary value by the contrasting media, as in the early work studies. So now I'm just going to talk about the project that we are presenting here, which comes just before the Maryland project. And it is, as I said, the continuation of the work studies in schools, which goes from the early 70s, 1972 through 77. It ends with the work studies in schools. So Lange work studies in schools focus on the process of teaching and learning in the classroom. The first of these studies took place in Birmingham schools in 1976. It's titled Study of Teaching in Three Birmingham Schools. And here we are presenting the two projects together. Lange's followed by studies in four Oxfordshire schools in 1977. Lange carefully chose institutions that would represent different social classes, recorded in both public and comprehensive schools. So in Oxfordshire, he clearly divided. He had two comprehensive and two public. In Birmingham, which is the earliest studies, is still tentative. He just had two comprehensive, one public. He also videotaped a wide range of subjects, eventually developing a structure focused on the teaching of art, history, and science. The capacity of early portable video to provide live and tape feedback made the medium a viable tool for criticism and analysis. This was not the first time that Lange had played his recordings back to the subjects. He had done this in 1975 video, Canta Vieja, a study of a work in a Spanish village in Spain. But feedback, and Lange's understanding of which was conceptually influenced by his conversations with Dan Graham at the time, became the central focus in the Oxfordshire series, where the studies of teachers' performances were extended by videotaping the teachers and the students' responses to the recordings of the classes. The subjects' reactions thus became incorporated into the work and guided its development, while the self-reflective process added another dimension to the studies. Lange's videotaping was itself also examined as work. And it's a wonderful tape. We decided to give you a little teaser in the show so you get a sense of what this show is about by introducing a set of those, the teacher classroom and then the response of the teacher to the tape, and then the student's response to the tape. And I think I highly encourage you to listen to Mr. Perks, the one in the corner, because his response is quite insightful. But also, it's a very interesting tape in which, at one point, it's a very reciprocal, it's a conversation. Not only Darcy is questioning Roger Perks about issues of accuracy, how accurate is his portraying of his performance, how well represents his practice, or the students' responses in the classroom. Also discusses what is the interaction of him being in the classroom. But at one point, and what would be the effect, because I think that Darcy ultimately was hoping that this work would not just be a work that would be presented in museums, although being an artist, that was the context, but he ultimately was more interested in his work having an effect or on the people that he was recording. So it's very interesting because at one point Roger Perks started asking Darcy, but what is it that you really want to achieve with this? And so in the recording, you get Darcy attempting to give an explanation and therefore becoming also the subject of the documentary. I'll show a couple of clippings of that that will illustrate what I'm saying. One should know that Lange, after graduating from the Royal College, he taught in Birmingham Polytechnic School of Art, which was housed in the same building as the School of Education. This was an interesting finding when working with Icon Gallery. Helen Leck, the curator, knowing Birmingham very well, realized that when Darcy was teaching at the Polytechnic, was teaching in the same school as the School of Art. The School of Education. And the School of Education at that time was starting to use video to record the performances of teachers and use it as a pedagogical tool. So it was, I think that was sort of the link or the initiative idea for Darcy to start using video. But I think his process obviously is extended. Subscribing to the Marxist ideology common among video practitioners of the time, Lange saw workspaces in schools as our collective truth, quote, as means of breaking down or making transparent such social hierarchies. Moreover, by inviting his subjects to become critical viewers, the artist introduces a radical potential for social transformation. For Lange, the power of video had to do with this immediately communicative relation with the subjects and his ability to affect change in them, which he saw as a reciprocal process. To his disappointment, Lange never found an outside function for his videos, which were shown largely in the context of art galleries. This troubled him, and this frustration was presaged in a 1975 conversation with Willoughby Sharp. Quote, "This is where I need to get a lot more serious about getting the work shown to a wider audience and making a real effort to get back to the people it was recorded from." And I'll end this talk with a quote from Darcy and then show a couple of clippings from videos and then open the floor for talks, for questions. So I'll read this quote. "Lange expressed his concern to portray his subject with a degree of respect and dignity," he wrote. "We have a responsibility to keep questioning the nature and power of realism. Are there ways for the camera to record without stripping people of their spirit, without sloganizing, without replacing a deep sense of community by shallow voyeurism?" Another quote continues, "Making videos and photography in other people's area, as I have done with my art, whether it be walking in their area, entering their houses, observing their ideas, or recording them or their burial grounds or their places at work, was due to many motifs. Not all good, I must say. At times it was for my career, other times in search of a new image of art. But these motifs were balanced by the reciprocal respect that caught me as I enter other people's territories. I explore those people, so they explore me, and we change together."